Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Martin Stringer.
Content, the right subject, and everything this morning we've been singing through, and God has just been speaking through it in the worship, is about His glory. I really noticed that. So bless you, Lottie, you're right in the flow with all the songs you've got there. So praise God for that. The thing God put on my heart yesterday, I was just asking God, we've heard a lot from the Lord over these last 3 months. Lots of directional stuff, lots of change, lots of different things that God is asking of us, has asked of us, and we have done. And I want to suggest to you that we have now reached perhaps a crunch with what Pastor Paul has been bringing about open homes. I went back through my notes, and God has actually been speaking to them about this subject for the last 4 weeks to us. I don't know whether any of the rest of you probably will have picked up on that, because you're all sort of wide awake, alert, ready and up for it people.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. Yes. Paul, isn't he? So I thought this morning, I didn't think, God just sort of put it in my heart about releasing glory.
Yes.
And that last song that we sung there, you know, your kingdom come, your will be done. Come shine your glory in the earth. The one before it, come holy fire, no, same one. Come holy fire, come purify, come shine your glory. You know, there's no glory without fire. The fire has to come before the glory. Think of Elijah on Mount Carmel. What came first? The fire and then the glory. So in all of this, there's a process that's going on. A process that can be jolly painful if you don't like change. If you're one of these people who likes to sort of sit in a rut, stick in the mud, doesn't want to sort of do anything, you know, put your feet up and watch the telly when you come in, read the paper, whatever you do. Change suddenly comes and it's a shock because we don't know how to cope with it. And what God wants to do is to enable us to change. You know, when we come into the presence of God, when we worship, we're actually losing sight of ourselves, or we should be. If you're not, then you're not really entering the presence of God. If you're in the presence of God, you will be totally unaware of yourself. Anything you think or feel, you'll just be only aware of the presence of Jesus. That's all you'll be aware of. And when you're aware of His presence, things change because you're touching the glory. You're touching the glory. We've touched the glory in worship this morning. We're still touching it now. Just because the worship in terms of singing has stopped doesn't mean the glory's gone. We're still touching the glory here now. Okay? So, why all this? I want to do a bit of a word study. It quite reminded me of Dr. James, actually. Those of you who know Dr. James Maloney, he quite often sort of throws in a word study, doesn't he? So I've done a word search for you. And when I was looking through this, it just made me sort of laugh, actually. And I thought of him, not to try and mimic him. I wouldn't do that because it's not my anointing. But will you take a look at Isaiah 60 and verse 1? This is where we're going to start. Whoopsie-doosie. That's a page out of my Bible. That was good. I've never done that before. In nearly 40 years of being saved. That's pretty impressive. No, it's not impressive, actually. It's obviously not a good quality Bible, is it?
Well, if you've had it 40 years,
it's... No, I haven't, Paul. No, I haven't. I don't know how long I've had it. I'll have to change it, Kate. I'll be in for a new one. Isaiah 60, verse 1 says this, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." Okay, now we know that scripture really, really well. We've sung it over donkey's years, most of us in this room. We've prophesied it, we've prayed it, we've shouted it, we've declared it, and we've seen a little sort of, maybe just a little bit of it. And I wonder why we haven't seen more. The word glory in the Hebrew is kabod. Okay, now I'm just reading this out of the Spirit-filled Life, which is weightiness, that which is substantial or heavy. Glory, honor, splendor, power, wealth, authority, magnificence, fame, dignity, riches, and excellency. The root of kabod, I'm sorry this is a bit long, but listen to it, it's worth it, is kabad, to be heavy, glorious, notable, or to be renowned. In the Old Testament, heaviness represented honor and substance. Okay, kabod is God's glory, not only His honour, renown and majesty, but also His visible splendour which filled Solomon's temple. In the Old Testament, God continually showed Himself, manifested His glory to the children of Israel. He manifested Himself to the children of Israel, and He manifested Himself again to the children of Israel because they would walk away in unbelief from Him. He would do things. They would repent and turn back. He would manifest his glory. He would heal them. He would bring them back to him. And within days sometimes, they turned away again, going back the wrong way. God demonstrates his glory. He still wants to demonstrate his glory. He's no different now in demonstrating glory to what he was then. If we go into the New Testament and take a look at John 2. It's all right, it's only because I'm going to give you another word search. Don't often do this, but it was actually quite interesting. Because this is obviously, I imagine, a Greek translation. I'm not a Greek scholar, so somebody will come up and tell me afterwards if I'm wrong, I'm sure, but very graciously, please. If there's no grace, I'll send you to Pastor Paul. And we'll both sort you out. John 2, verse 11. Remember the wedding feast at Cana? Jesus had gone, turned up to this wedding, and they run out of wine. So his mother comes to him and he effectively says to her, well, it's not my problem. They've run out of wine. What are you going to do about it? Not my problem. My hour has not yet come. So his mother, very wise woman, knew him well, just says, whatever he says, do it. So because Jesus had already heard from the Father, he'd already heard from heaven, what was going to happen in this situation? So he tells them what to do. We know the story ever so well. Take these huge water pots, fill them up with water, and then he takes a sample of it to the steward of the feast. He tastes it and it's the best wine. Why have you kept this till last? But it says, verse 11, this beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory. You see, signs manifest his glory. Obedience manifests his glory. Now, when we're coming, this is going to be a very simple word. It might be quite short too, but that doesn't really matter. You think of Old Testament prophets, go backwards, like Samuel, Elijah, Elisha. They had some pretty challenging things that God gave them to actually do. It says about Samuel, God let none of his words fall to the ground. And he was a young man when that was happening, a very young man. I mean, that would be quite something, wouldn't it? If we could say, God has never let any of my words fall to the ground. I'll bet he has. I think he's let an awful lot fall to the ground, which was probably a good job. And I expect we could say that too. But God wants to reveal and release his glory through you and me. Amen. And one of the key ways he will do that is through our obedience. Yes. These men I've just mentioned, Samuel, Elijah, Elisha, David, go all the way through all the Old Testament prophets, were given a choice of something that they probably didn't want to do. Just trying to think which one it was. Had to lie on his side for 3 years. Was it Elijah? Had to lie on his side for 3 years, something like that. I think it was. Would you fancy that? No, I wouldn't either. But he did it to be obedient. Hosea married a prostitute. God told him to. I mean, you'd need to be hearing from God to do something like that, wouldn't you? You'd need to have a heart for God, a heart of compassion for people, the people of God, to want to do that too. In all the talking about the glory, let's not forget the purpose is because God loves people. And he wants to demonstrate his glory to people. He doesn't just us having a nice whoopee time in here this morning so that we feel all nice and goosebumpy. If that's how you're feeling, then you're not touching the glory of God. You're just in an emotional sort of situation. And God actually wants glory. Yes, glory will affect our emotions. You can't help that. But if that's what you're looking for, you're looking the wrong way. Jesus alone is the one we must be looking for this morning. Must be looking for. Okay, I just want to go back a little bit on this. And I just found this quite interesting looking at this whole thing. Psalm 19:1 says the heavens declare the glory of God. Right? The first mention of glory, the word glory, in the Bible, certainly in this version, that's the New King James, maybe the NIV is different, is when Moses says to God in Exodus 33, show me your glory. And God actually says, I'll show you my goodness. Yes. Interesting, he didn't show him his glory because Moses couldn't have stood it. Yeah. Even then, under that covenant, he couldn't have stood to see the glory only at a distance when God manifested his presence on Sinai, manifested his presence in the wilderness with a pillar of fire and the cloud. You know, it was always a magnificent manifestation of God to keep the children of Israel in line.
Yes.
We don't have that now, do we? You know, we've got a new covenant. We have a personal relationship with Jesus. The glory is in you. Amen. It's in you. It's already there. You haven't got to ask for it. You've just got to release it.
Yes.
Okay. Look at a little bit more here. In Proverbs, verse 8. You might think it's a strange scripture, but it actually does tie in quite well with this. I don't know, I'm not sort of one of these people who likes putting out keys for this and keys for that. I'm never quite sure about that. But, you know, just called to share the word with you. So here's the word. Proverbs 8, 17. Now this is talking about wisdom. But if you go right back to the beginning, right back to the beginning of Genesis, you can look at the same scripture in 1 John, right back at the beginning, the Father, the Son and the Spirit, there was a glory there between the three of them. There was a glory in relationship, and it was a relational glory. It wasn't just an experiential thing, it was a relational thing. And here you see some evidence of it in just a few of these verses. Verse 17, one of the keys, it is a key this: I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honour are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. Verse 22, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. And you read on down there to verse 30. Then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world. And my delight was with the sons of men. So you see, it's wholly relational. This whole thing is relational. There isn't much glory if there's no relationship. If we're wanting the glory of God in the church, the relational thing is absolutely key in it. You know what Pastor Paul has been bringing week by week by week about a house, open houses. I know that's a challenge, probably to most of us if we're honest. Who doesn't find that a challenge? One or two of you won't, I know, because you've probably always had an open house. Who does find it a challenge? Yeah, Pastor Paul does too. Okay, that's good. Let's be honest about these things. We want to see the glory, then we need to start to be honest about where we're at right now. Okay? So, God, we're presenting you with a challenge this morning. A lot of us here struggle with the whole idea of an open house, but you're asking us to do it. So what are we going to do? We can do one of two things, just sort of hope it goes away. We can hope he stops preaching on it and doesn't bring any more words about it. He won't, I'm sure, because God will just keep on about it until we do it. Or God will actually take it away and give it to somebody else who will.
That's right.
And then we will be the losers and we will be the poorer for it. So we have a choice. Do we really want the glory of God? Do we really, really want the glory of God? So as we say yes, we're actually saying, yes, God, I'll open my home to you because that's what you're asking of me. That's the word you're bringing to us as a church at this time. I will open my home because I want to see your glory manifested above anything else. You know, one of those other songs we sang about the glory being manifested. God wants to do it. God really, really wants to do it. Do I really, really want him to do it? That's the question, isn't it? You know, we want the glory of God here in this place when people come here. We want the glory of God to fill it. We want the glory of God to touch other people. We want them to go out released in the glory and the glory released in them so that when they go back, they take it back somewhere else. Because again, it's relational. It's not nice, cozy meetings. Sorry, this we'll probably go round and round this a bit, but I just think God wants to make a point, really. Obedience is a key. Obedience is really the key. Go back to John 2:11 again, if you wouldn't mind. We're hopping you around here. Just a matter of interest, how many of you came this morning with something to bring? Anybody?
I brought
you brought your amp?
Yes.
Okay. Well, these guys on the worship team, they brought something because they're doing. Just to take it up a gear or two, who brought something from the Lord this morning? Sorry, I know you brought something from the Lord because you brought your heart. I didn't mean that in a derogatory way. You see, that's part of something else that God is saying, and it's all related. If people come to my house or they come to your house, and we just sit, and we just sit, and we just sit, and we just sit, they probably won't come again next week at all. I wouldn't go again next week either. And they just sit and do nothing. There's silence, the telly's off, no conversation, no offer of tea or coffee. Boring, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be boring? I wonder if God gets bored sometimes when he comes among us, you know? Because he's saying, I've asked them to do this. I really want them to do this. They can't yet see how much tremendous blessing is there for them, let alone the glory that will be released when they do what I ask them to do, and touching the lives of others. You've all got a passion for Scarborough here. We've all got a passion for Scarborough, haven't we? Yes?
Yes.
Yes. Right. Do we want the glory of God in Scarborough?
Yes.
Right. What's the problem with the word that God is bringing to us at the minute then? Why can't we do that if we want to see the glory of God? Because we won't see it if we don't actually take on board what God is saying now. You know, I would suggest that probably with most of us, all of us, we get to a certain point and it starts to get a little bit uncomfortable. You know, we're coming back to the fire and the glory thing again. We start to think, oh, this is beginning to get a bit tight here, Lord. And there are those who always push through. And there are some of us who find it quite difficult to push through sometimes. Yeah? Who finds it difficult to push through at times? Yeah? I think most of us, if we're honest, don't we? Stuff comes at you. Stuff happens to you. Circumstances change. You might run short of money. It might be anything like that. You think, well, where's the glory of God in this? And then we forget about the glory, which is why we're created in the first place. Is to share the glory, to release the glory, that others are touched by the glory that is in you and in me. And God is just waiting, saying, are you going to push through? Are you going to push through? I'm here. I'm holding out a hand. Are you going to come through or are you going to stick where you are? And then we reach the place where everything starts to sort of drop. Oh, I'm feeling low. And you ring up somebody on the pastoral team or something. Peter, I'm really feeling a bit under the weather. Things are just not right. I'm getting depressed and fed up. And Peter, being the man he is, he says, what did God last say to you to do? Oh, yes. Oh, I'm really struggling with that, you know. Could I come round and see you and Anne? Would that be all right? Could we come and talk about it? Yes, of course you can. So you get round there and you start to talk about it. And we come back to this same thing again. What did God last ask you to do? Blur, whatever it was. Right, well, go away and do it then. Yes, but what do I do? I mean, how do I do it? And what am I supposed to do? And do you get the drift of this? And I think we're all like that, if we're honest, aren't we? Really? And we want him to see God touch and change lives, but we won't actually yield to the Holy Spirit and say, you've got to do something in me, Lord. It's me that needs to change here. I want your glory. You know, there's one part of me, if I'm honest with you, that desperately longs for the glory of God just to come blasting through and see lives sort of, you know, you want to see it, don't you? Walk down the street and people are healed as you walk down the street and you haven't done anything. Yeah, who's in for that? We want that, don't we? There's a cost. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you everything and me because God will send his fire. We've sung it this morning. That is an incredibly dangerous thing to sing. Send your fire, purify. My goodness, if you want your life turned upside down, then let God do it. And you will be on the phone to the pastoral team. What is going on in my life? What have you asked God to do? Come and purify me with his fire. There you go then. He's doing it, right? So that's where the glory comes. When the purifying and when the fire is starting to really burn, the glory starts to come too. The glory starts to shine. We start to see people's lives change because ours is being changed. If mine's not being changed, nothing else is going to change. Nobody else's is going to change around me either. My neighbours won't change. My neighbours won't be touched. You won't be touched and blessed if I'm not changed. You see, so you need to be changed, guys. You know, we're in this together, aren't we? Yeah? We're all in this together. There's no opting out. Well, if you need to opt out, come and politely see us and you know where the door is. But there's nobody on this train that's opting off, you see, because you all came to Scarborough. You said you're all up for it. So you can't opt out now. It's too late. Okay. So your escape route's been shut already.
He was the nice one.
Well, it just means you can go to him and complain about what I've said. If he didn't like it, he says, don't let him preach again. And he'll say, well, I didn't really know him till this morning. So God is wanting us to do what he's asked us to do. He really is. And he knows and understands that that is not easy. Do you think Jesus found it easy to be here? Really? The Son of God in human form with that tremendous limitation of a human body on his glory and on his manifested presence. That must have been an incredibly difficult thing. Yet, in the garden, not your will but mine be done. But yet, Lord, if it's possible, take it away because I can't handle it. It's too big. Yet, not your will but mine be done. You know, we prayed, Paul led us in the Lord's Prayer this morning. Disciples' Prayer. Not Lord's Prayer, Disciples' Prayer. We don't often pray that in Kingdom Faith. I think that's a shame. Because it's the most powerful prayer dynamic that there is. Teach us to pray. Our Father. Our Father. You know, we're coming right back to Father. We come right back to the beginning where we started in Genesis. We come back, John says, we saw him and we beheld his glory. You know, they saw it. They saw it. And they were not then men who'd been through Pentecost or had any relationship with Jesus. They saw his glory. They believed as they saw his glory manifested. A lot of the Jews believed as they saw his glory manifested and the signs and the wonders that he did. So are we going to have to go around changing water to wine? Who knows? I don't know. I've never tried it, but I've seen meals expand. I've seen all sorts of things happen over the years I've been a Christian. When you've had enough food for one or two and sort of six and eight, ten have turned up. You say, how are you going to feed these? God, do something with the food. And he does. There's plenty for everybody. We've all seen those sorts of things. God is upping the stakes now. You know? And if you haven't seen those sorts of things, start there. You know, you haven't got to start with raising somebody out of the dead in the churchyard as you go past on the way home. It's not at that sort of level. But, having said that, no, I won't quote this because I may have the facts wrong. So I'll forget that, what I was going to say. Let's up the stakes. Let's let God up the stakes with us. How many of you have prayed for somebody here and seen them healed? Either instantly or within a few days. That's most of you. That's most of you. Okay. I suggest we set ourselves a faith target. In you is the glory and the power of God, and in me. The next person we come across who needs prayer for healing, let's pray. Doesn't matter whether they're Christian or not, let's pray. Let's see the glory of God revealed. Jesus manifested his glory by doing just that. He walked around out in the street like Phil and Paul and Tony are doing with some of the young people in Scarborough. Pray for these guys. I don't know how many of you knew they're doing this, but they're meeting weekly with youngsters in Peacehome Park and various other places in Scarborough, skate park, in all these weathers, bless them. But pray for them because they're beginning to see breakthrough. And if they know you're praying, they'll see more breakthrough. It'll give them more courage and confidence to pray with these kids, to see God break into the lives of these kids and just break down all these barriers and inhibitions that kids have these days. You know, pray for boldness for these guys that they're not going to hold back. I know the same happens in Horsham. I mean, I've heard Pastor Clive talk about some of the stuff that's happened with youth there and Paul has with J24/7. You know, kids are better at it than we are. Amen. If we're honest, they really are. You know, ask some children to come up and pray for you. They just pray for you and you're healed. That's it. They don't think, oh, I wonder if it's the will of God and ask all these silly questions. It is the will of God and they just pray and get on with it and they're healed. So that's the level God is calling us to believe what he says, actually. If we want to see his glory, there's a cost. There's going to be a cost of yourself, myself. There's going to be a burning and a firing up going on inside, a purifying, a burning away, because the glory is going to increase. And God wants to increase the glory. You know, we're praying for it. We're here on Tuesday and Thursday. We pray for that. We pray for Scarborough. We're crying out for God to do something more. It's going to cost. It's not going to happen because Paul and Kate, the new leaders in the church, they're not going to be doing it. God has just sent them as a vehicle to bring the word, to take the church through to the next phase of however far they take it. Yeah. I don't know. They don't know either, I don't suppose. But, you see, it's not there. They're not there just for us to sit behind them while they take the driving seat and do all the hard work. We're actually a team. Yes. A team. We really are a team. We can't function without them. They can't function without us. We need each other. Everybody here is needed. You know, you can't sit on the side and say, well, that's all right. That's really out of my league. I don't do that sort of thing. You can say that, but you'll be the loser. Yeah. I mean, who wants to be a loser? Not me. Fed up with being a loser. I was a loser when I was a sinner. And now I'm a saint. I'm not a loser anymore. I'm a son. So if you want to stop being a loser, realize you're a son. Let's get on with the stuff God's called us to do and really go for it. Yes. You know, yes. Boy, am I going to be challenged now? You do. When you stand up and say something, God immediately in the following day, within days, says, right, your neighbour's sick, go and pray for them, or whatever it is. So, let's go for it. Yeah, absolutely. This is what we are here to do, is to go for it, to go out of here this morning and go for it. Yeah? Not to ask questions about it, or query it, or challenge it. If you don't believe what I've said, just look in the Word. That's simple. I don't mind. If I've said something that you don't agree with, doesn't it, you know, it sort of offends your theology, never mind. Look at God's and see what his has got to say. That's bound to be right. Well, he should be right. Let me read something else to you. John 17. Just to go back to this whole thing of the glory. You'll know this ever so well. Jesus, didn't he, only did what he saw the Father doing. What governed what Jesus did? Compassion. I'd say compassion was what released his glory as well. It wasn't just obedience, it was compassion. You know, when he saw the need of the people, and he saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd. Compassion motivated him. In fact, most of his miracles came out of compassion. And say, oh, goodness me, sickness, get healed. There was a love and a compassion there. And God's put that in us too. You know, there's a love and compassion in these guys that go out with the young folk on during the week in Scarborough. I know there's love and compassion within all of you because I've been on the other end of it too. And, you know, we all have. We know how to give it. We know how to release it. But God is saying, step it up. Let more of it out. And the more of it we release, the stronger it becomes. And the same with faith. The more we release, the stronger it becomes. If we just sit on it, nothing grows, nothing changes, it stagnates. And it becomes like manna. You might as well throw it away, it's no good. Right, the glory is in you. What did Jesus say here? He's talking about the disciples in verse 20. Okay, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. You, me, the generations beyond us. Because everything God does is generational. It's not just for now, for me, for you, for Kingdom Faith Yorkshire here, for the churches in Scarborough. It's for the generations to come when we're dead and gone and finished, you know? And we've left a legacy. And God wants us to leave a legacy, a godly legacy. That others will look back and say, look what God did then and look what he's doing now as a result of their obedience. You know? And that's where we're going. Right, verse 21. That they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be one in us. Why? That the world may believe that you sent me. That's the whole purpose of this. Verse 22. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one. So glory is given for oneness and unity as well. In fact, it's given for oneness. Oneness is a stronger word than unity. If you make something as one, you can't discern the difference. A unity, you can see a togetherness and you can see the differences. But oneness, you can't see the difference. That's why a husband and wife are one flesh. They're not united. They are one flesh. And God sees them as one. He does see them as two individuals, but as one, if you get what I'm saying. And I believe that's the same meaning here. I've got nothing to tell me that, but that's just sort of what came to me when I was looking at it. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. If we get hold of this, if we will get hold of this, that glory is in me and in you to be released. It's not just there to make you feel good. It's there to be released. That lives are changed and transformed by the people who come into our homes as we start to really say, well, God, I'm scared to death to open up, not to death, no. I'm just a bit frightened, Lord, to open my home. I reject that word in Jesus' name. I'm just a bit anxious, Lord, about opening my home up. I'm not quite sure what to do. I'm not quite sure how it would work. I don't even know if anybody would come. The answer is, let's have a go. Let's have a go. Peter was a great disciple because he'd always have a go. Even if he blew it totally and got it wrong, Jesus didn't say, you fool, did he, ever? He just loved him. You know, and there's no condemnation here. If we try something, we get it wrong. That's the wonderful thing about sort of all the transition and change that there's been. There's just grace here. There's grace. God has just brought a new grace into the church to do something, to be brave, to be bold, whatever you want to call it, to be adventurous, to do something fresh, something new, without any condemnation if it didn't work. Okay? It didn't work. You know? Not everybody is a wonderful natural host. But who knows what the Holy Spirit will do when he gets hold of us? Yeah? Just because it's a natural gift, that's wonderful. Bless you if you've got a natural gift of hosting, and a lot of you have, it's fantastic. But for those of us perhaps who don't feel so sort of easy about that, well, Lord, you're going to need to do something with me. Here comes the change. Here comes the fire. Here comes the glory. Okay? Here comes the change, the fire, and the glory for the changing. So God is going to bring it. God is going to do it. Now, nobody can make you open your home. Nobody can make you bring a word on Sunday morning. I don't think that one's gone in yet. I'll have to keep preaching on that one a bit more because I didn't see any hands up when I asked about it. But that's the church. That's where there's life. Where there's life, you see, if we are walking in this glory and walking and releasing this glory on a Sunday when we do come together or Thursday night or whenever it is, there is always going to be something brought in. Always, because God will be on the move in such a powerful way. People are going to be bursting to get hold of the microphones. Well, can I share this? Can I share that? Did you know God healed this person when I was in the street. You know, I just happened to have a conversation. They wanted prayer and they got healed. And then somebody else came and said, what happened? And I prayed for them and they got healed as well. You know, God is wanting us to demonstrate this glory. It's something to be demonstrated, not kept in here. Yeah? Right, one or two of you are convinced. That's good. Okay, that's good. That's good. It is here. God spoke a word about glory in here, but it's not for today. Okay, I'm going to wind up. But what I would like to do, I know there's people in this place who actually need prayer this morning. I hope this is all right, Paul, to do this just for a few minutes. Okay. What I want you to do is I'm not going to ask you to come up here for prayer. The people with you, next to you, are going to pray for you. Because they're going to see the release of God's glory in this place this morning. Going to make a start this morning. There's no point us hearing lots and lots of words if we don't actually do something with what we hear. And then go away and come back next week and think, oh, I wonder what he'll be talking about today. That was a good word. Or it wasn't, however you view it. You know, that's what we do. That's the mentality. You know, encourage you. Have a notebook. Write down things God is saying. Because if you're like me, by Monday night, if Claire were to ask me, well, what did Paul say on Sunday? I'd think, oh my goodness, what did he say? That's an awful admission. But I could be like that. You know, if it's a real sort of word when God comes in and really challenges you personally, you often don't always get hold of what God is saying. That's why I say I went back through the notes I've been making over the last week to see what is God, the key things God has been saying. Home. And bringing something when we come together. So that means you have to do something other than the pastor. He's not a one-man ministry. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. This isn't a one-man ministry church. This is a body ministry church. And we're getting used to it. It's new. It's a different way of doing it. We've done it before, I think. And God is just doing it in a fresh way. So let's let him do it. So when you come, don't expect entertainment. Okay? Come, bring in the entertainment. Because you're the source of it. It's not just the pastor. Okay? You're the source of the entertainment. Gwen's got something up her sleeve already. Right, there are folk here who want prayer this morning, who've come with some sort of specific need, wanting God to give them direction, wanting God to heal them, wanting God just to really speak into their life about what they should be doing right now, at this point in time. There's only the three things I sense the Holy Spirit saying to me at the moment. What I want you to do is just to raise a hand if that's you, please. One, two, three. Okay, any more? You want healing, direction. Can't remember what the third one was, I said now. Healing, direction, particularly. And just needing to hear from God. Right, any more? Can you just keep your hand up, please? Okay. Right. Now then, Lottie, could you come and just sort of... Thank you. Because we need to take up an offering too. When we've done this. Just sort of doodle quietly. How do you doodle quietly? She's an expert. So those of you around, these folk who put a hand up, will you please pray for them? Now, there's people behind you. Will you please pray for them? Just put a hand on them and just pray quietly while the person immediately next to them prays. Now, I just want you to, don't want you to pray a prayer. I don't want you to ask the person what they need. I just want you to ask the Holy Spirit what they need and then pray what the Holy Spirit gives you. Okay? It might not be what they want to hear, but don't worry about that either. Just pray it. Okay? If it is directional, please will you let us know as a leadership that you've said something like that to somebody so that they don't go off thinking they've got to sort of up sticks and move house and move south or something like that. They need to hear from God for themselves. Okay? So, okay. Let's just pray. Just let that glory that's here now, just touch that glory again. Whatever it is God wants to do with you, because what he does with you today, you're going to be able to do with somebody else tomorrow. That's the purpose of it. Jesus. Father, somebody in here who suffers with migraine. I don't know whether you put your hand up then, but if you didn't, will you put your hand up? I'm going to pray for you. Right. Just shared with me, keep praying, those of you who are finishing off your praying. It is more powerful outside than inside. We're praying outside this place. As we go from this place today, there are going to be those this week who are going to need what God has put inside you and me. And He is going to bring them across our path if we believe that. There are going to be opportunities, there's going to be favor this week for all of us to pray for somebody, to speak into somebody's life, to love somebody, to give to somebody. God is going to open those doors of opportunity because He's spoken this morning and He's asking us to do it. So when we come back next Sunday together, if Pastor Paul feels it's the right time to do it and asks, there are going to be many, many testimonies. Yes, God did this. Yes, I'm coming to you because I want to have an open home. Because we've heard, we want the glory of God. We long for the glory of God. So let's be the people who say yes to the Lord. Burn our boats, chop down the bridges, and realize that we have actually left everything behind. Remember, Elisha wanted to say goodbye to his parents, and Elijah said to him, "What have I done to you?" So he actually burnt the plow and then went and followed Elijah. And now, same with the disciples. Come, follow me. They left everything and followed him. That's the call. We've gone up. The whole church has gone up. The whole army has gone up. The whole army has gone up. We've left everything behind. We've left it all behind this morning. It's finished. If there's anything you're still dragging with you, get rid of it. Get rid of it, because it's holding you back. It's holding me back. This army is to be powerful, effective, searching, and dynamic in what God has called it to do. And whatever God does in here is going to spill over, and it's going to touch and affect other areas of his church in Scarborough, Driffield, wherever you live, but particularly in Scarborough. God is doing something fresh here. Something fresh, because he wants his glory in the streets in Scarborough. He wants his glory in the streets. It's going to come through you and me. He's not going to use some sort of supernatural intervention. He's got people. That's why he's a relational God. He's saying, "I'll use you if you'll let me use you. If not, I'll find somebody else. Because I want my glory. I want that which belongs to me back." Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
It was just what you were saying now. Elijah was a man of great strength. He was actually driving 12 oxen.
Right.
Saddlely.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. So that was just a confirmation of what we shared about Elisha. Okay. Now then, those of you who've been prayed for, God has changed your situation. Do you believe that? Do you believe it? As of now, it has changed, because you've made an agreement with God and with the folk who are praying with you. So you're going to see change. It may not be fully changed immediately, but it may be. But it will definitely change from today onwards. Things are going to be different. Totally different. Totally different. Okay, talking of totally different, we need to take up the offering.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.